Go into your Bibles tonight, turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 tonight, and looking at verse number 23 this evening. And Brother Scott was talking about Brother Olson, and knew him back when he was in college and things like that. And I was just thinking, Brother Olson's great. So I don't know. I don't know what Brother Hallman has kept his hair color there. Pretty good there, but he has to be out in the hall when I say that. But anyway, Luke chapter 14 tonight, and just had a great day in the Lord today, amen, and just been an exciting day. And tonight, going to be preaching about a ministry of the church tonight, a ministry that is very near and dear to my heart. Luke chapter 14, we're going to be looking at going to the highways. And tonight, we're going to be encouraged and rejuvenated tonight about one of the most vital ministries in this church. You know, I think we see the need, we see the command of God, we see the command in Scripture of Jesus Christ that we're to be salt and light in this world. And as a church, we're to be the pillar and ground of truth to bring the gospel to the world. And the one ministry that all of these converge is that of the bus ministry. And we're so excited to have a bus ministry here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, and to have a beautiful bus and have people that work on the bus. And I want to talk about the bus ministry tonight. And it's been several years since I preached a message about the bus ministry. Ben, I realized, I was thinking about it, praying about it, and the Lord impressed my heart. I haven't preached on it in about 3 years, I think. But several times before, I preached a Sunday night or a Wednesday night message about the bus ministry. I preach about the soul winning ministry, about soul winning. I preach about the ministries that we have here in the church at different times. And tonight, I think we need some encouragement in regards to the bus ministry. And perhaps some of you don't really know what the bus ministry is. We know we run a bus, you see a big yellow bus come in on Sunday morning and kids come off. But why do we do that? What is the purpose of it? And perhaps some of us need a reminder as to the fruit that has come through the bus ministry. Amen. We have had so much fruit in the bus ministry, a very fruitful field. And the bus ministry also needs your help tonight. The bus ministry needs your help as a church. And so let's look at Luke chapter 14. If we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Luke chapter 14 and verse number 23. Luke 14 and verse number 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you, dear Lord, for the ministries of this church and those that work in them. And Lord, we pray tonight for the bus ministry. Lord, I believe it's a ministry that is close to your heart. For Lord, we have seen so many precious young people and adults come to know you because of it. And Lord, I pray that tonight you would guide and direct us. And Lord, that you would encourage us. And Lord, that you would build the bus ministry even stronger than it is right now. We pray that we would do it for you and not for ourselves, not for numbers, not for our own pride and arrogance, Lord, but for thy glory we do it and for thy praise so that lost people can hear of you. I pray that you would bless our service tonight and that, Lord, we would see the vision of it, we would see the need for it, and, Lord, that it would catch fire in our heart and that you would touch people's hearts with the importance of it tonight. I pray that you would bless in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Message entitled tonight, Going to the Highways. Going to the Highways. And we see here tonight, Luke chapter 14, the parable of the Lord who bid those to come to his supper. And many had an excuse that one said he had just bought a piece of land and he couldn't come. And one said that he had just gotten married so he couldn't come. They had given all excuse after excuse of why they couldn't come. And then the servants went out and found the halt, the lame, and the blind, and brought them in. But yet there was still room, and he says, tells them this verse, gives them a command, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Now, we have to understand something, that the highways and hedges, and also we know the halt, the lame, and the blind, the down and out, the people would call them the down and outers, the scourge of society, that they were the ones that Jesus wanted at his house and wanted at the supper, wanted to see them in heaven. Amen. And that's what we do in the bus ministry. We bring people in from all walks of life, from all backgrounds, and bring them to church so that they can hear the gospel of Christ. And tonight, we're going to look at a couple of things tonight. First, the purpose of the bus ministry. Some people ask, why the bus ministry? Why do we have a bus? Why do we spend thousands of dollars each year in fuel? And trust me, it's thousands of dollars a year in fuel for that thing. Because why do we do that? So we can bring people to church. Well, maybe we understand a little bit about the bus ministry. The goal of the bus ministry is clearly seen in three verses of Scripture, this one being one. Luke 14:23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Now, I know we go out to the highways. I hope we don't hit any hedges along the way. But we go out into the, we hit curbs, you know, we do things like that. But we go out, and I was hoping we weren't going to hit a fire hydrant today. But we were out there, and we were on the highways. And we're going through, Brother Hallman's a great bus driver, by the way. He's a great bus driver, and he does wonderful. He's a very confident driver. He's very confident going around corners and things like that. But we're going to look at tonight a couple of other verses, and that to go on the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. You know, why we don't do the bus ministry? Because it's easy. Bus ministry is probably the hardest ministry in the church. It requires a lot of time, especially with a bus that does not have air conditioning when it's 110 degrees outside. It's a hard ministry, and it takes a lot of dedication. It takes a lot of work, but the Lord has blessed it. And we're going to see the results of it here in a minute. Another, we'll look at Matthew chapter 28. We see the Great Commission, and we see what Christ commanded Christians to do, to go and bring the gospel to the world. Matthew chapter 28, the last part of the chapter, the last three verses of Matthew, we see in verse 18 beginning, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I said, well, why did he say that? I mean, he had authority to give this command. You know, some people say, well, how dare you tell me to go out? I need to win souls. Well, it's not me that told you, it's God that did. And Jesus Christ did. And he has all power and all authority in heaven to tell you to go. And verse number 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? We can look at the different neighborhoods in our town. Think of them as different nations, if you will, for a moment. And you know, we just don't go to certain parts of town. We love to go everywhere in town. I mean, Killeen's a big city. When you look at it, Killeen's pretty big. It's pretty spread out. We go to as many places as we can, but we're limited in where we can go. But we just don't say, hey, look, these look like some nice kids in this neighborhood. We're going to go pick them up. But we're not going to go to this neighborhood over here that they don't look like such nice kids or such nice houses. We don't do that. We go everywhere we can, go to every place, and we try and pick up kids to bring them to church. And we believe 100% that the bus ministry is essential in bringing the gospel to Killeen. That's why we have one. Do you realize we are the only church in town that has a bus and a bus ministry? They have van ministries. We are the only church in town that has a bus. We take it seriously. A lot of churches, like, we don't need a bus. We go down to vans and things like that. Maybe they have one or two vans, but we are one of the only churches in town. Now, Northside has a bus, but they rarely run it, actually, I found out. They don't run it on a regular basis anymore. They used to. They used to have four buses that they ran, but they only run one bus now every once in a while. But we're the only church in town that has a consistent bus ministry that runs every single week. Praise God for that. Now, I'm not saying, well, look at us, how important we are. Trust me, we're a small church. We don't have the money to keep that bus going, but somehow it keeps going, and we have money for fuel every single month. Dr. Jeff Fugit, who is considered one of the leaders in bus ministry today at Independent Baptist Churches, he said, you don't have a bus ministry if you don't have faith, because you're never going to have enough money for it. You're never going to have enough time for it. You're never going to have enough people for it. There's always, God always brings people at the right time. Now, look at also Mark 16:15. We know that verse. Mark 16:15, a synoptic of the Great Commission. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And there's some creatures out there that need the gospel. Amen? And we're a creature, all of us are. Whether we're tall or short or young or old, they need to hear the gospel. And the bus ministry, by the way, is not just for children, though primarily that's who we pick up, but it's for everyone. It's for adults, the old, the young. We've picked up older people, we have picked up kids, we have picked up whole families before and brought them to church. It's not just for kids. You know, when we talk to people, it's, oh, it's for my kids only. No, it's for you too. We want you to come. They're like, really? You know, whether you want to be on a bus full of 45 kids or 30 kids, that's up to you. But, you know, we bring you in. Not only that, but the van. We use the van as well. Now, let's take a look at what the bus ministry is not. The bus ministry is not a social club. We just don't bring the kids together to fellowship every single week. You know what? We just come with to have fun. And, you know, we just bring them to have fun and to give them candy. And I think that's what some people think the bus ministry is about. Just bring them in to have fun, teach them to behave, and give them some candy. They need some fun in their life. No, they need Jesus in their life. Well, it's not a social club. We don't do it for that reason. It is also, we do not use it as a vehicle for social change. Well, we need to change our society, so we're going to change it one child at a time and teach them to be socially acceptable. No, we don't do that. We believe once they get saved that the Lord will change all that. Amen? If they live by the Bible and teach them the Bible, that'll change all of that. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's how societies change, is when they get saved and they start living by the Bible. That's how people's lives get changed and a whole society can be changed. We're not an activist group. No, they have political leanings. And I tell you what, on the last election, and we came picked them up on a Wednesday night, and so, I mean, we were having fights on the bus. Who voted for Hillary? Who voted for Donald Trump? I mean, on the bus, they're like, you voted for Hillary, you know, and things like, your parents did, you know, and they were fighting about it. Like, look, that's not what we're here for. Amen? We're here to learn about God in the Bible. We're here to proclaim Jesus Christ. Because the politics change, everything changes, but God never does. And Jesus never does. So that's why we have that. And you go on and on. It's not any of those things. What it is, this is the mission statement for the bus ministry. It is an avenue for people to come to church, to God's house, come to church, that usually would not have the opportunity to come. That's the purpose of it. Why we run a bus is to bring as many people as possible to church. And we're blessed. We're blessed as a church because we have people that have a CDL license that can drive it. Brother Hallman's got a CDL, so do I. And you know what? I was taught, the pastor that I was under, he forced me to get my CDL license. He goes, you never know when you might use it someday. You know what? I've never been more thankful to be required to get something ever all my life. Because that's enabled me to be able to drive the bus whenever Brother Hallman can't, been able to drive different places and do that. And the Lord has used that in a special way. It's not any of those things. It's a place for people to come, a way for people to come to church, to preach the gospel to them. The goal is to see them get saved and to teach new converts the truth of God's word, to see an entire generation and an entire community come to know Christ. That's the purpose, and we have them many times for short periods of time. The turnover rate, people moving around in Killeen, is very, very high. Very high. They move. They stay here. They move out of state. I mean, we have bus kids all over the country, all over the world. We have ones in Connecticut. We have ones in New York. We have ones in Oregon. We have ones in Alaska. We have ones in Missouri. We have ones in Louisiana. We have ones in Tennessee. Ones in Indiana. Ones in Illinois, Minnesota, Wisconsin. There's a state, you name it. There's a bus kid that came to Tabernacle Baptist Church that lives there now. And you know what we see sometimes? There's not as many kids coming on the bus. It's because they moved. Amen. And we got to go get new ones and bring them in. And you know what? And people, we have to look at the bus ministry in a particular way. You got to look at it. It's not as the glass is half empty, the glass is half full. Amen. We can always be negative about anything. Well, we don't have as many kids coming. Then go out and get some new ones. You can do it. 2 hours, you can fill up that bus. Amen. You know what? We were able to see about 60 kids, almost about between 50 and 60 kids come to BBS every single night. You know how many hours we spent signing up kids? 2. Do you know how many hours and days and weeks other churches have to work that hard to get that many kids? In other parts of the country, it's because of the area that we live in. We have a fruitful field, amen? And whenever the Lord says the fields are white unto harvest, that is so true when it comes to the bus ministry and different ministry of soul winning in the church. There are 3 ministries that are essential in the church, in this church. That is the preaching and teaching ministry, which I'm doing right now. That of the soul winning ministry and that of the bus ministry. The bus ministry is an extension of our soul winning ministry. That's its whole purpose, is to bring kids to Christ. And you know what? 3 kids got saved this morning. Amen. Is it 2 or 3? 2. 2 got saved. 2 got saved this morning. And you know what? Was it 1 or 2 of them had never been before? One of them? one had never, first Sunday. And you know, we might not ever see him again, but we'll see him in heaven. Amen. Just the other week, we had bus kids that came 5 years ago, and they had moved away. They came back to the church and said, "Hi, Pastor Bernie, you remember us?" I'm like, "I think so. I recognize you. I don't remember your name. I'm sorry. I mean, I've the hundreds of bus kids. I don't remember your name." They told me, "Oh, yes, I remember you." And I remember we used to pick them up in the old bus. And I don't know where they are now. They said they're going to come back and visit again. I haven't seen them. But they remembered us, and they remembered my wife. They remembered Mrs. Harvey. And said, "Oh, yeah, we want to see them. Are they here right now?" I said, "No, they're not. But why don't you come back on Wednesday? You can see them." No, they remember that. They remember that people cared about them. Do you realize the bus ministry is more important than fellowships? The bus ministry is more important than Bible studies? The bus ministry is in the top three ministries of this church. And it is, because we have seen more people get saved from the bus ministry than any other ministry combined in this church. More people than Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night services. More people and out on soul winning and visitation. We have seen hundreds of kids and adults come to know Christ because of the bus ministry. Hundreds. I'm not talking a hundred, hundreds, like a couple of hundred over the last 6 years. And plus the other years, over the many years of bus ministry that Pastor Harvey oversaw. So amen. Praise God for that. And people have gone on to serve God. There's two preachers that I know that were bus kids. Now, how do you remember? Some of you remember my brother-in-law, Pastor Brandon Redding. Remember him? He was a bus kid. He's a pastor now. Another pastor, the pastor I worked for, was a bus kid. I'm sorry, three pastors that I know. My pastor up in Indiana, Pastor Dr. Mark Monty, who is a very influential person in independent fundamental Baptist churches, very highly educated man. He's a bus kid. Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota. Bus pulled up and invited him to church. Him and his brother Mike, they went to church and they got saved. They became preachers. Went to Bob Jones University back in the day. That's all because of the bus ministry. And people say it doesn't work anymore. You know what? People say, "Well, the bus ministry doesn't work anymore." No, you don't want to make it work anymore. It works if you have a fire and a desire for it. So let's look at the fruit of the bus ministry. There's the purpose of it. Let's look at the fruit of the bus ministry. Tonight I'm going to give you a little history of the bus ministry. I promise it won't be real long. But it's all about the Lord, amen. Look at Psalm 145, verse 1. I want to read a couple verses before I begin. And some of you don't know the whole story. Some of you have been here since the beginning when we started it 6 years ago, almost seven now. It's a little 5.5 years that we've seen the bus ministry go. But I want to give God the glory and how it all started up again. Not that it started in the beginning, but that we started it up again. After almost 10 years of not running buses. Psalm 145 and verse number 1. "I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever." And when I'm going to relate to you, I take no credit for myself. I take no credit for any of it. It was the Lord that has done it. And I think we need to be reminded of these things. The bus ministry started up again, started on Easter of 2013. So that's about a little over 5 years ago. And on our first route, we had over 30 kids come that Sunday, on that first Sunday, that first route, and the buses have been running ever since. The only times it has stopped is either because the bus was broken and couldn't run, or we took our 2 weeks during Christmas to not have bus, or everyone was sick. There's only times that we have not run the bus. Even when people were sick, we still ran it. And it started, it was an old 1985 diesel bus, 50-passenger bus. Some of you weren't here then, but it was an old 1985 bus. And when I first came here over 8 years ago, 8 years ago this past summer, I interned here before I got married to my wife. And I remember coming in and driving in the park. First time here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, first thing I noticed, there was a big yellow bus parked here in the back. It had not been run in 7 years, had sat there for 7 years, and was not running. And I saw that. And there's something inside of me. Lord, I would really love to see that bus run again. And I ended up, we moved to Indiana. We got married, moved to Indiana, was there for a year. Then we came back, and I think I was here a day or 2 days. I had that bus running around. You know, I went and got batteries in it. I filled up the tires. And I said, well, this thing run, it better run. And you know, when I started up, it ran. I mean, the thing ran like a top. You know, drove it around. And I said, hey, Bethany, guess what? We could put kids on this bus. I mean, I already had my CDL. All we got to do is it needs new tires and these things like that. And I mean, I was excited. I was driving around. I drive around almost every other day. And you know, I was like, man, this is really, it was a nice bus. It was still in good condition. And it needed an oil change and things like that. Then I found out I shouldn't have started it because it needed the gas redone. But hey, it was fine. The diesel was fine. It's oil, you know, and it ran great. And so in that right then, we couldn't wait to get kids, bring kids into church. You know, at that time, now remember, this is when we had 20 people in the church, or less than that. Had about 15 to 20 people in the church. And so you know what? We want to have, and by the way, we need to have more people on Sunday night. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to encourage some people to come on Sunday nights. But anyway, so we were there, and there was no children's church. There was no Sunday school. There was nothing. When we came, we started up Children's Church. Children's Church that Sunday had three kids in it. That was Easter Sunday of 2012, our first Sunday there. And a year later, we were able to see the bus ministry run. But how we got there was amazing. Now, this 1985 diesel bus had been sitting for 7 years, and its tires were rotted. I mean, very badly rotted, especially two of them in the back. They needed new tubes. Now, this bus was so old, it had tube tires. I remember the tubes that went in tires. And I took it down, and I got a temporary tag for it. And I drove it down to the tire shop, and I said, hey, so how much you put new tires in this? I'm like, yeah, they have tires in stock. I'm like, well, you're out of luck, buddy. We don't make tires like this anymore. I'm like, what? He said, yeah, they're split rims. We don't even work on them anymore. I'm like, oh, no. And then my heart just sinks. I'm like, oh, no. And I spent 3 days calling every single tire place from here to San Antonio trying to find a place that had two tires. We had the tubes to replace them. But I needed two tires in the back replaced because they were totally worn out. And I'll never forget, I called this one place in Waco. And I told them the size tire I needed. Oh, yeah, I've got two of those tires. Got one used, I got one new. I'm like, well, how much is the new one? Well, the new one's $300. I'm like, well, so well, we'll take the used one. And the used one was like $50. And I went up there and I took the little Green Ranger up there, and I was just driving, you know, and I was just there. It was a small tire shop. And what had happened, this guy had bought this brand new tire from a bus barn and was just sitting there. And so I paid him the $50 for the one used tire. I said, well, thank you, sir. That's great. And I put it in the back of the truck. And he says, what do you need these tires for? I said, well, it's for our bus ministry at our church. And so we want to start a bus, bring up kids to church. And he said, that's great. I mean, this guy's rough and tough, tattoos all over him and everything. He goes, why don't you take that tire? I said, well, how much is it? He goes, nothing. I said, take it and use that tire. I'm never going to use it. Use it for something good. And I mean, I was excited. I mean, amen. I put that tire in the back, and I was so excited. I got right on the phone. I told my wife, I said, guess what? We got a brand new tire. We got the tires. Like, okay, now we got to get the tires put on. And I took it to Carruthers Tire up on Veterans Memorial. And I said, you know, I was fully expecting, man, this is going to be $250, $300. And, you know, I went and asked them, you know, it won't cost that much, you know, the tubes and everything. And they replaced four tubes and all four tires and put those two new tires on. They charged us $65. That's pretty much free. They charge us for the tubes. I'm like, this is some kind of mistake. He goes, no, it's not. He says, you are doing a great work. I want to see that bus pick up kids. $65 is all you need. That's all you owe us. Amen. And when I've taken this bus up there, they rotate the tires. They go, oh, $30. I'm like, it doesn't cost $30 to replace three tires on there. He goes, for you it does. Amen. Amen. And that's the Lord that does that. And so we were able to get these different things, and we were able to get it. We got it painted, and we got it lettered, and we had it lettered for free. Elijah Aaron's over at Victory Baptist Church in Copper's Cove. He charged us nothing to letter that bus in our van. I mean, and you know, we were just like going thing after thing after thing, and God was doing a great work. And we started that on that Easter, and we had 30 kids come. And then we ran that bus for about a year and a half. And then I noticed something every time we'd pull it in, that there'd be a puddle of oil underneath the engine. And I was like, what's going on with that? And it was running okay, but it didn't seem to go quite as fast as it used to go, and And so I looked it up, and I found out the rings and the pistons were blown out of it. Which, for those of you who are not mechanically inclined, the engine's blowing up. It's done. You know, it's an old bus. It had given its life. It had done well. I mean, I'd taken it to Austin. I mean, it was a good bus. I said, you took that bus to Austin? I absolutely did. And it worked great. At 50 miles an hour, that's as fast as it would go. It would only go 50. When it didn't have a turbocharger on me, it was going, you know, running along 40 miles an hour up a hill was a good thing. And I was like, what are we going to do now? And eventually it got to the point where we couldn't run it. And for about a month, we ran the van. We ran two van routes trying to pick up all the kids. We still had 25, 30 kids coming. And I said, Lord, what are we going to do? And I was up in Belton. I was looking around, and I think it was my wife and I were somewhere. I was up in Belton for some reason, and we were driving by the Belton High School. And I noticed, you know, I'm always looking out for a bus somewhere. Whenever I'm looking around looking out for a bus, I saw three buses parked next to each other, and they had the letters on the side blacked out. Like, they're for sale. They're going to sell them. Whenever you see the name block, the school name blacked out with paint, that means they're going to sell them. I'm like, they're going to sell them. And I looked around and everything, and I finally called them and said, hey, I see those three buses out there. Are they for sale? He said, well, they will be. They're going up for auction next month. I was like, really? So where's the auction and everything? And so I called up the auction place that was handling and said, hey, you know, you got those three buses. Are you taking any early bids on them? He goes, no, we don't work that way. He's like, well, how much do they usually go for? So, oh, those buses usually go for $6,000 to $7,000. I'm like, oh, my heart sank. Like, we don't have that much money. We had $1,000. That's all we had. We scrapped the other bus, and it was like $1,000, $1,200 for it. So we had about $1,500, $2,000. I said, Lord, you're going to have to bring it in. And the Lord just kept impressed upon me, all you need is three. All you need is three. And we put a call out, and we prayed, and the Lord brought in. We had $3,000 in. My brother-in-law, Pastor Redden, we were up there, and we went up to that auction. It was a cold day. It was in November. It was cold morning, Saturday morning. We were up there. I mean, they were selling everything. They were selling lawn equipment. They were selling all kinds of stuff up there. They were selling these three buses, and we never got to look at them. So we went in one, and one of them had air conditioning. I said, Pastor, you mean we had an opportunity to buy one that had air conditioning? No, that's what I went to first, and it had air conditioning, and one had 142,000 miles, one had 162,000 miles, and one had 182,000 miles. Now, 182,000 miles on a bus is a lot. And I was like, no, I don't know if I want that one, but the one with the air conditioning, like, hey, that's great. They were sitting there running and everything. And I said, great, let's turn the air conditioning on. And I turned the switch, click, nothing. I'm like, oh. Well, maybe it's just a switch. I turned the lights on, nothing. I turned the blinkers on, nothing. Nothing electrical on that thing worked. And they said, oh, yeah, there's an electrical problem. And this is what the guy said, oh, you'll be able to find it in just a minute. The guy behind him was like, no, if you don't know anything about a bus, it's wires everywhere. If there's an electrical problem, you're never going to find it. So I don't want that. I don't want that one. So we went in the other bus, and it had 142,000 miles on it. And I said, oh, this is the one we want. It was nice on the inside. I mean, ran beautiful. And all three of these buses are just look like just the one we have right here. They're all same manufacturer. Their VIN numbers were one apart all the way down. And same year, same model, same everything on them, except one had air conditioning. and then the other one was the 162,000-mile one. I said, you know what? And I sat in that one. I looked at it. So I think the Lord wants us to have this one. I think it's this one. And we went down, and they came to the bidding time. You know, and I've been to an auction. I've never been to an auction before. I mean, I had my little paddle and everything, and I was ready. And, you know, when I'm thinking, you know, I'm trying to remember all the TV shows and movies about people that go in the, you know, and I'm trying to listen to what the guy said, and the auctioneers do talk like that. And it was going through, and they came down to the time, hey, we're going over to the buses. I'm like, you know, we're over there praying, and we're so excited, and we're nervous and everything. And I'm thinking, Lord, you can give us this bus for $3,000. Only you can do it. These buses are worth much more. Only you can do it. And so the one with the air conditioning came up first. And went back and forth. I didn't bid on that one. I don't feel comfortable with that one. The electrical problems, we didn't bid on that one. And that one went for almost $4,000. I'm like, Lord, that's too much more than what we have. Then they brought out the one that had 142,000 miles. That one went for almost four, just under four. And I was, my heart sinking. And I was like, well, the one that won the air conditioning had 182,000. That went for 38, and the one went for pretty much 4,000. I said, that other bus is going to go for more. I said, Lord. And so we came down to the bidding, and you know, start off at 1,500. Somebody 1,500, 1,700, 1,800. I put 2,000. I mean, I was like the third. I was the third, but I didn't want to be the first one. I didn't want to seem too eager. You know, 2,000, 21. You know, 22, 23. I said, Lord, I've only got $700 left. And I said, Lord, you can do it. The guy says, 28. I'm like, I look over at him. You know, we're giving him dirty looks and everything, you know. 28. Someone said, 29. And I waited, you know, 29.50. 29.50 going once, going twice, 3,000. 3,000 going once. Going twice, yes. Three times, sold for $3,000. I'm like, yes! I mean, we're jumping around like, woo! And everything. We're like, what is wrong with these people? Never been to an auction before? We're jumping around. There's the bus that's sitting out there right now. And, you know, we were wanting, well, we maybe should have gotten the one with 142,000 miles. Let me tell you something. We were able to drive that bus home. We drove it over to a parking lot, left it overnight, got a temporary tag, drove it home the next day. Drove, I mean, I've never driven a bus like that. So, man, this thing's a Cadillac compared to the other one, you know. Runs great, you know, runs right along and everything. But as we were leaving, we noticed the other people they bought, those other buses, the one that had 142,000 miles, as they were pulling it out, it blew an airline. Stopped dead. Couldn't move it. If the airlines blow out in those buses, you can't move them. Blew out, I mean, air everywhere and stuff like that. And the one that had the electrical problem, they went out, went, and then just hear like, kabang. I don't know if the starter blew up in or something. There was like smoke coming out the back. You know, I was like, pray, thank you, Lord, for not having one of those. And we haven't had much trouble with this one. That's all glory to the Lord. And I talked, I was paying for it. He goes, I don't understand why that didn't sell for $6,000. I sold 10 of these buses, they all sell for six. All of them. You know? The more that we see God do things, the more we're excited about it. And, you know, we can't forget those things. I relate that to you. So, well, why are you telling us that? Because God has been in this ministry since day one. And God is still in it. And God wants you to be a part. Lives have been changed. Families have been changed as a result of the bus ministry over the last 6 years and over the last 30 years of Tabernacle Baptist Church. How soon after the starting of the church do you have a bus ministry? Within a couple of years, I'm assuming. Very quickly, yeah. Found one and got the old bus and out they went and brought people in. You realize that there used to be a Sunday school and a chicken coop at the beginning of the church? I mean, that with bus kids and van routes. Hundreds of kids and adults have ridden the bus routes and the van routes over the last 6 years, and to God be the glory. Whenever a repair was needed, the funds were there. Whenever there was a need, God provided it in miraculous ways. In 2015, we acquired the bus that we have, and God miraculously provided the funds and provided the bus, and this is God's ministry. This isn't ours. It's not mine. It's God's ministry, and He will provide. So what's going on for the future? Here's the vision of the bus ministry. And there's some changes coming to the bus ministry for the fall. Starting on August 29th, we'll be running a Wednesday night route. Nothing new about that. We've run Wednesday night routes before, but we're not going to run a Sunday morning route anymore. For the simple reason is we need to move our resources around a little bit, but in the future we hope to start up a Sunday morning route again. In the future when we have more staffing and things like that. But we want to change into a Wednesday night route because the kids are more faithful to the Wednesday night route because they don't have to get up in the morning. They're already up. And also because that's just kind of, unfortunately, that's how our society is going. And also because it gives our church people more time on Sunday to be encouraged and to be lifted up in the Lord. And that's more important that we be ready to serve And so, but we also want to see more kids come on Wednesday and be more faithful. On Wednesday night, they're faithful every single week, and they come, and they're excited, and it gives us more time to work with them. So we're going to start on August 29th. We're going to be running a Wednesday night route. And also, we'll have a van for faithful adults and teens that still wish to come on Sunday morning. We're going to run a van route for our faithful teens and adults that still want to come on Sunday morning. So we're not forgetting about them. But we're in need of new people to help out and to help man the bus, because Sarah and Caleb just decided they had to go to college. You know, they had to know. We want them to go. We're excited about them, but we don't have anybody to man the bus. We have Adam. Adam said, I'm nobody. No, he's our runner. He's there still. And Brother Hallman is there to drive, but we need people to man and work on that bus. And it's not an easy ministry, but it's a ministry that is a necessity and a ministry that will help you grow. We're in need of new workers to be trained and equipped for this ministry. And we want to see this ministry thrive and grow like never before. And it's time for others to step up and say, I want to be a part of this vital ministry. I want to be a part. I want to help. How can I help? And it's time to have a changing of the guard on the bus. Every few years, we have a changing of the guard, if I call it. And new people come onto the bus and are trained, and it's put into their hands. Now, Sarah and Caleb, I'm sure, will work on the bus again someday. They're like, I don't know. Yes. Caleb's like, yes. Sarah's like, I don't know. Okay, Sarah's okay, good. They love it, and they love riding the bus every Sunday morning and being there with the kids. And so they're going to go get training. So you're going up to Fairhaven. That runs 29 buses. And so you're going to learn how to do it and bring it back here. No. But they're going up there to learn the Bible and to be encouraged and to learn what God would have for them to do in their life and to prepare for that. Praise God for that. I'm excited about that. And we need to be excited for them. But we need people to help run the bus. My wife and I have run the bus many times over the years, but it's difficult for us to do. We can do it again if need be, but it's difficult for us to do with all the other responsibilities that we have. Trust me, I wish I could every Sunday morning, because I love running that bus and running on that bus and being there. I never worked on a bus route until I was in college. I was at Faith Baptist Church in Avon, Indiana, and they came up to me. And, you know, I was just looking for something to do. And they're like, ha. You know, and I was just like, I'm past my mind. What can I do? I want to do something and everything. He goes, I know who you need to talk to. And I talked to Pastor Peter Lopez. And you want to talk about a man that knew how to run a bus ministry. He's the assistant pastor. I've never seen more of a dynamic man in all my days. And he could create a bus route out of nothing. I mean, he was like a magician. And boom, there's a bus route. You know, and they ran 6 buses at that time. And, they had a bus and soul winning conference every year. They had 100 club jackets, meaning that you brought 100 kids in on your bus. How do you fit 100 kids on a bus? 2 trips. They bring in one, and they go out during Sunday school and get another load and bring them in for the Sunday morning service. Amen? Amen. That's exciting. And they had that. They had several people get that every single year. And I went to him, and he goes, I know exactly where you need to work. And they put me on a bus route. I was the runner. All right? So, Adam, I know what I'm talking about. All right? Because I was a runner, and I had my sneakers on. I did it every Sunday morning. Now, this is central Indiana. It's nice in the summertime. January, not so much. I remember my wife and I, we were married. We worked on a bus route. I mean, it was January. It's 10 degrees below zero. And those buses get cold. Those buses are cold, but we were still out there, and kids still came. In the cold and the heat, I mean, we felt like the post office. Rain or sleet, nor ice, nor heat or anything. We were out there. And it takes a long time for those buses to warm up, by the way. They had them running an hour before we even got there. You know who turned them on and started them up every single Sunday? I don't know if he still does. It was the pastor. He was a bus kid. He'd get there an hour early. He'd start up every one of those buses. Make sure they had the heat on and start them all up. I think he still does it. Out there, he was out there. He would meet us and he would pray for us, gather us all together, and he'd pray with us before we go out every single time for the bus ride on Sunday morning and on Wednesdays. We need people to help. So what can I do? What do we need? Well, we need people to make sure the bus stays clean. We need people to help. Well, I can't run on the bus, but I can help clean it. I can help keep it clean, because trust me, those kids get it dirty. You know, we need people to help keep it clean. We need people to ride the route on Wednesday nights, and we'll train you what to do. Don't worry. We're not saying, hey, run it. We're going to train you what you need to do. We're going to take a couple weeks off. Here, starting after next week, we're going to take a couple weeks off. We're going to train people. But we need to have people say, now, I want to be on it so we can train you. Take a couple weeks to train you. We're going to train you for 2 weeks before we set you on there. And we're going to ride with you and make sure you're trained while on the bus as well. We need people to run a van route on Sunday morning for adults and teens that still want to be there for Sunday. We need prayer. Amen. We pray for the bus ministry. We pray for God to do something great. We need financial support, repairs, maintenance, seat repair, oil changes. Fuel costs around $100 a month for that bus. That's it. That's it. We only run it once. It runs about $100 a month for gas for that. Right now, the bus needs a tune-up and oil change. That costs about $220. That thing takes a 5-gallon bucket of oil. Now, in comparison, your car takes about a gallon. This takes 5 gallons. And that's just for materials. That's not having it changed. That's us changing it. That's just the materials needed for a fuel filter and oil and water separators and things like that, that are maintenance things that need to be done. It's been a year and a half since we had that stuff done. We want to keep it running nice, keep it running well. Because if you don't take care of these buses and these engines, they fall apart on you like that. So we need to take care of it. It costs about $210 to do that. The Lord keeps that bus rolling. Amen. He keeps it rolling. And there are times I have found things on it that I fixed. And like, how did this thing keep running? I don't know. The Lord kept it running. But we fix it the best that we can. Will you have a part in the blessing? We want you to have a part in the blessing. It's not just 5 or 6 people that receive the blessing in this church from it, that work in it. Everyone can have a part. Everyone can have a part in it. And being a part and encouraging these bus kids. You know what? These kids come from backgrounds that you wouldn't believe if you knew. Unbelievable backgrounds of these kids. Backgrounds of neglect and abuse and poverty. I mean, amazing what these kids come through, and they get them through, and they get saved, and their lives are changed, and we've seen parents get saved. You know what? The goal of the bus ministry is not only to see the kids get saved, we want to see the parents get saved. We just want to see the parents start coming to church and start being faithful. And you know, the goal of the bus ministry is not to keep them riding the bus forever, but get their family coming to be a part of the church so we can pick up other kids. That's our purpose, and that we strive. Well, what about the future? We eventually want to see more bus routes started. We want to see a second route for families and adults and kids to come in. We want to go into other parts of town. We can only go to so many parts of town in an hour and a half that we take it out on. But we want to see other routes started. We want to acquire a shuttle bus for picking up the elderly at the nursing homes and bring them to church. As you can do that, oh, yes, you can. Have a handicap accessible shuttle bus, but those buses cost $30,000. So, the Lord's able to do it when it's His time. It's not time for those things yet, but in the future, we want to see that happen. Another van to replace the one that we have. Our van's in 1998, and we want to see that replaced in the next couple of years. It's getting old. We put a lot of miles on it. It's still running good. We keep the maintenance up on it, but it needs replacing in the next couple of years. The bus that we have is going to need replacing in the next couple of years, probably. It's 22 years old, but it's still running great. The Lord's able to provide for those things. And we want to do a great work for the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 2 in closing tonight. We want to do a work for the Lord. We want to use it for His glory, not so we can say, look at the bus ministry that we have. Look at all we're doing. We're doing more than other people. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to bring as many people to Christ as possible. Isaiah 50 and verse number 2. Isaiah 50 and verse number 2. There's a vision to the bus ministry. There's a burden to the bus ministry, and I hope that you've caught that tonight. Isaiah 50 and verse number 2. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water and dieth for thirst. What is this talking about? This is talking about the power of God. Remember, whose ministry is the bus ministry? It's not ours. It's His. And through His mighty power and through His provision, we have a bus ministry today. Amen. I mean, eventually, I would love to have a bus and soul winning conference here at this church. Eventually. I don't know when that's going to be, but I pray the Lord would let us do it. That we'd be able to have bus route after bus route, and that we'd be able to see bus routes started in this part of Texas. Bus routes aren't real popular in Texas, I found out. Van routes are, but there's really not a big following of bus routes in Texas or in the southern parts. Now, in the Midwest, I mean, bus routes everywhere in the Midwest. And, you know, where I grew up in New York State, mostly because New York State makes it very difficult to have a bus route like this, to have a bus. Be glad that you live in Texas. You know, in Indiana, they make you paint a bus like that white. They won't let you run it yellow like we do. As I pray, thank you, I live in Texas. We don't have to paint it. I mean, every bus that these ministries have up in Indiana, they have to paint them white before they can send them out. Illinois, the same way. And many other states, if it's a private bus, they want it white so you can't pick up kids and act like a school bus. But we don't have to do that in Texas, praise the Lord. But we want to see God do a great work. Do you see the vision? Do you see the need? I pray that you do tonight. And it's a ministry that changes lives. And tonight I encourage you to pray for the bus ministry. Maybe you need to surrender to help in the bus ministry. Maybe the Lord's burdened your heart and said, I know I need to be a part of the bus ministry. Won't you commit that to the Lord tonight? We need to go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And that's what we do every Saturday. We go out into the highways and hedges and byways of this town, and we compel and we invite and we convince kids to ride that bus so they can come and hear about Jesus, so they can come and learn about the Bible, so they can come and learn that there's something more than the home life that they have, that there's something more than the neglect and the abuse. There's something more than the hunger. There is Jesus Christ that can satisfy the hunger of their soul. That is why we go out and do it every single week. That's why we go out in the burning heat. That's why we go out in the cold. That's why we go out in the rain. That's why we spend hours every week bringing these kids in and these families in so they can be saved. That's why we do it. Will you be a part? God wants you to be a part. He'll bless you richly for it tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that you will bless our time tonight. And Lord, we want to you to be the center of our bus ministry. It's not our ministry, it's not our church, it's yours. And Lord, tonight we want you to do a mighty work. We dedicate ourselves to it again. Lord, we prayed and dedicated that bus to your service. And Lord, you have kept it running, even when there were times when it should not have. And Lord, you provided the funds for repairs and the funds needed to take care of it. Lord, every single time there's a need, you provide. And Lord, we know that you'll continue to do that, and we have faith that you will. But tonight, there is a new need. There is a need for people. There are some material needs, but mostly it is a need for people. A need for hearts, a need for hands and feet and mouths that speak thy truth. That have a heart for these young people and these families, a heart to see their lives changed with the glorious power of thy gospel and thy truth. And Lord, I pray that you would bring those people. We have prayed for many months, dear Lord, that you would bring the people, and we know that you will. I pray that this church would get behind your ministry, dear Lord, and that we would have a greater burden for it. Forgive me, Lord, for not keeping it before your people as I should have. I pray that you would bring us together in unity to serve you with the bus ministry and with soul winning and with reaching out to those who need Christ in this community. I pray that you would bless and help, dear Lord. We ask thy blessing, and I pray that you would be with our invitation time tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.